whole world with fruit.
You know?
That's Isaiah. Isaiah 27, verse 6.
You know, when the British forces were here from 1917 to 1947, they tried to stop the refugees from Europe coming here. They said the economy cannot absorb more people. There's nothing to eat here. And the one who gets more of the vegetables and fruit from Israel until today is England. More than that, flowers. Export of God of flowers. When Diana was killed in a car accident, millions of flowers were sent from here to England. And on Valentine's Day.
All kind of roses and many other hairbrushes and others.
Was 22 BC. Herod the Great, king of Judea, was crowned in Rome, his king to strengthen the commercial ties between the Roman Empire and his kingdom. In his vision, Herod imagined a deep water harbor to shelter ships from across the empire. A harbor with a man-made breakwater, a high tower and strong fortified walls to provide a safe haven for merchant vessels. This was a revolutionary project, ambitious in scale and unique in the region. His dream Herod named Caesarea. Thousands of workers toiled to make this dream a reality. Enormous wooden caissons are sunk into the sea to form the foundations of a massive breakwater. Sands, born both of skill and pioneering engineering techniques, the harbor is taking shape. In a dozen years, Herod's dream has become real. For once they were dunes, now stands a beautiful harbor city, thronged with people and thriving with life. Ships carrying rich cargoes arrive from all corners of the empire. The elegance of Caesarea is admired throughout the region. Merchants and workmen are everywhere. Towering above the harbor, the fire is burning bright on the Drusian Tower, bringing ships safely to port. To honor his Roman patrons, Herod builds a temple in the harbor front and dedicates it to the goddess Roma and Augustus Caesar. In return, he gains the trust of the Roman Empire. Its reign reaches as far as Syria. After Herod's death, his heirs failed to step into his shoes, and his charismatic presence and tough regime are no more. His successors fade into the mists of time, and the Roman hold on Caesarea grows stronger. Caesarea becomes the capital of the Roman province of Palestine and headquarters of the Roman governor. The deep water harbor is a source of income and employment to the flourishing city. Storms and earthquakes damage debris. corner of the fortified walls. Yet the city stands and attracts Jews, Christians, and pagans alike. A Jewish community develops in Caesarea and becomes one of the most dominant in the land. Its centers of education and knowledge draw numerous scholars. Many entertainment venues are established in Caesarea. Theater plays and horse races draw huge audiences. The Roman Empire collapses, and its place in the East is taken by the rising Byzantine Empire. This is a new era for Caesarea. Better fortified walls are built to surround it. The gladiators' games are banned, but chariot races continue to entertain the citizens and their guests. Prosperity is everywhere. The markets are abundant with fine olive oil and wines, and trade is flourishing. Christianity becomes the official religion of the Byzantine Empire. The temple of the goddess Roma and Augustus Caesar is torn down to build in its place an amazing octagonal church. The city's wealth is clearly evident in the richly designed and decorated church. Alas, man-made work cannot survive the forces of nature for long. Severe earthquakes continue to hit Caesarea. Gradually, the breakwater's foundations deteriorate, and the harbor is flooded. In the 7th century, after many battles of a 7-month siege, Byzantine Caesarea, which was one of the most prosperous and fortified cities in the land, falls to the Muslim hands. A mosque with a magnificent arcade facing the sea is built where the Roman temple and the Byzantine church once stood. When the city's great harbor finally yields to earthquakes and storms, Caesarea becomes a sleepy town and its ruins turn into marble quarries. In the 12th century, once again, the tides of war upon Caesarea. European crusaders invade the land, hoping to conquer the Christian holy cities. From the struggle of war, Caesarea emerges to be rebuilt. A new quay is built in the harbor, and impressive crusader walls surround the reviving city. For 200 years, the wars between Muslims and crusaders have shattered the Holy Land. It is the year 1265. An immense and powerful Muslim army is approaching Caesarea's walls, led by the Mamluk Sultan Bayaz. After 3 days of battle, Bayaz's soldiers break into the city, spreading havoc and destruction. For the first time since its foundation, Caesarea is thoroughly demolished. Sultan Bayaz does not rest until he razes Caesarea, wishing to wipe it from the face of the earth. Caesarea fades slowly into the realms of dream and fantasy for which it was created. Caesarea does not end here. As it was created by the vision of Herod the Great, modern Caesarea has been revived by the vision of a single man, Baron Edmund Benjamin de Rothschild. The Baron purchased Caesarea's lands, aspiring to turn them into a unique place of creativity, tourism, community, recreation, and leisure. Thanks to him, Caesarea is prosperous again, and life fills the city once more. Today, Caesarea combines an industrial research and development park, a leading community, together with some of Israel's most beautiful tourist sites. The buildings that we see here are dated from over 100 years ago and were built for Bosnian refugees, but their foundations were laid precisely where once stood the Roman temple, the Drusian tower, and the ancient walls of Caesarea. Most of Caesarea's harbor is immersed under the sea, but the theater and the hippodrome stand as they were in ancient times. And the city's glorious past is evident and complements today's development. Thus, through thousands of years, Caesarea stands, a city made from dreams. A city where past, present, and future are combined together in perfect harmony.
Was tied to the rock. She is the sacrifice for the monster of the sea. The son of Zeus come and pick her up and save her and makes the Greek islands. This is a story, but we know a better story. We know the story of Jonah. And what is this story of Jonah about? In those days, people believed that God power ends coastline, which means if God tells you to do something, and you don't feel like it, the only thing you have to do, get on a boat and go out to the water, and you're okay. And this is actually the story of Jonah. And what happened, Jonah gets on a boat, and it's not here in Joppa. But don't forget, Peter came from Joppa to here, and from here, Cornelius and Simon Peter went to Joppa. So what happened is that Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh to tell those people that because they are sinful, God is going to punish them. And he believed that if he gets on a boat, he'll be fine. He gets on a boat and God has the power over water. He gets a storm. And then there's no one to volunteer to be the sacrifice to the monster of the sea. The only thing they have to do, they push Jonah over. And Jonah is the sacrifice. What happens? The fish, a big fish, we don't know what kind, it's a big fish. I don't know if it's a whale. They did catch some whales here. He's taken to Nineveh. And when he's in Nineveh, he says, I'm stuck here. Okay, let's get over with it. He tells them God said he will punish anyone who's sinned. And what happened to the people of Nineveh? They correct their ways and God doesn't punish them. Jonah get upset again. And the story starts like that. But if you think about Paul, Hatarsi, as we say, he's a Jew. And he goes to the land of the Gentile and he teach. And then as a good Jew, he comes back to the temple of Jerusalem. At the entrance to the temple, after the eastern gate, right by the beautiful gate, he see a man who is a Nazarene. Do you know the difference between a Nazarene and a Nutzri? Nutzri is one from Nazareth, right? And Nazarene is somebody who made a vow. And he said he looked like a Gentile, poor guy. He wasn't a Gentile, but it looked like it. And Paul just escorted him in. And he was accused of bringing a Gentile into the inner court of the temple. At that time, the Jews are not free to do whatever they want. And therefore, there's no execution under their authority. So they say, Paul did so and so. Do you think that the Roman soldiers really care about all the regulation? They wanted quiet time. Say, you want to claim or whatever? No problem. Take this guy. They put him in the Praetorium, which is the Antonia Fortress, and from there he's taken to prison. The big building that you see there, which was the lighthouse, you saw it in the film. Underneath, where you see those glass, underneath the prison was found. He's put in prison, and it was so unimportant, one governor, and another governor, and then he's taken to, either there was no room in the prison, or Festus felt like he's going to do things in order, so he's taken to a place that is well heard. I believe it was in the theater, because a place that can be heard, he had something to say. There was a lot of crowd there, so I don't think it was in this room. But this was kind of a governor room within the palace, so I'm showing you both, and I give you always a choice. You pick the one you think is right. But he's a child. And then he keep on teaching, and then when he says, no way out, he says to whatever you say, but I'm a Roman citizen, you cannot try me here. And he's taken to Rome, and then he died. But the message keep on going. So here is the place of the story of Paul reaching out to the Gentile, but we also remember Cornelius, who was a centurion, who has the power, and he says, call Simon Peter. You know, he's the authority. So poor Simon Peter had to go quite far. He comes all the way from Jupiter here. We're going to drive it. And then what happened? Cornelius follow him. And they go from here to Joppa. And you read about Joppa. What happened? Where did they stay? In a tenor house. What is a tenor house? This is not good news. The worst aroma you can think of is the tenor, and Dungate tenor will see it, to a point that if a woman who's married to a tenor could not tolerate the smell of her husband because he doesn't leave you, he had to release her from marriage. And that is the place that Peter chose to stay. Right? And then he say, yeah, later, it's right there. I want Well, so important, the message. Water is a border between people. It was mentioned here, but we talked about it yesterday when we were at Caesarea, at Sea of Galilee. Whenever Jesus goes to the other side, we talked about the miracle of the swine, he go to the Gentile, he go to the other people. And the same story happened here. And the gateway between nations was the city of Caesarea, and this is where we are here. And nothing was here except a small tower and a small fishing bay that was built by Alexander Jannai. Here we have Herod the Great, who's married to Miriam, who wants to be the king of the Jews, but the authority is given to him by Rome. What could he do to serve both sides that are enemies? He could build the temple for the Jews, the same second temple, enlarge, beautify, but he could build a Roman city with the best architecture, engineering of the whole empire. And he didn't build only here. He built in Turkey, he built in Greece, he built in Rhodes, and he built in Cyprus. Herod was great for the people in the diaspora. So here we have Herod. He built Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he does not stay in the Hasmonean Palace because it's right there. It's too dangerous for him. He built himself a palace within the wall of the city of Jerusalem and built a wall around it. If you take these two palaces, duplicate it, put it on the right side of Jaffa Gate, you have Herod's palace, and he never ever built a palace for himself without the Roman governor next to him. Don't be upset with me. I take care of you as much as I take care of myself. So here, the Roman governor house and the Herod palace down below. And where do you think they spend most of the time? In Jerusalem? The first thing he said to me, is it quiet in Jerusalem? Can we go to Jerusalem? Who wants the setting? They stayed here. Look at the beautiful scenery. Mediterranean, Beverly Hills of those days. And they stayed right here. But there are 3 food festivals. And if we have a governor, sorry governor, you better be in Jerusalem. If not, everything will get out of your hands. So there's the holiday tabernacle, and Pontius Pilate, during the time of Tiberius, made a mistake and didn't feel like going to Jerusalem. So Tiberius sent him a message and he says to him, you better go to Jerusalem Passover. What year? 33 AD. And Pontius Pilate does not have a house in Jerusalem. He's a guest of Herod's palace. And this is how, if you think about the last event that happened to Jesus, he's taken from Herod's palace to face Pontius Pilate, to go back, to be tried, and then to Calvary. And Pontius Pilate is a guest in Jerusalem. So let's go first and see the beginning of the palace and then to this side here. Here's horse racing hippodrome. Look at this. So well preserved. You can see the movie Ben-Hur right in front of your eyes. Above it, the governor, the tax collector, and also bathhouses, very similar to the one we saw in Bichon. Let's go down there. Was found down
pen letter, but on clay.
The original one is from the museum. This is what they found. Tiberium, Pontius Pilatus, to answer your question. So during the time of Tiberius the Caesar, the governor of the whole Middle East, poor guy, Pontius Pilatus. And he was here in such a difficult time. He enjoyed it better here in Caesarea than going to Jerusalem. We have the coins, 26 to 36 of Pontius Pilate. It's like, I'll show it to you right here. And more else you need of evidence of the whole story being all happening. When they did excavation in Jerusalem, they said, no evidence of Pontius Pilate. Read it, it never said he had a house there. He was a guest of Herod the Great. The theater had to be outside the city wall, because this is a very difficult time, and that's why we see the wall, and beyond that, we'll see the theater. I would like to stop there because you have a view of the whole thing.
You mentioned a couple times that people were always trying to disprove the validity of,
yes,
what
of, the,
was,
Bible.
Of the Bible. So who are these people, though? Are they professors? Are they what type of people?
Science, all nationality, all religion.
Okay. Whoops. So just people who want to be highly educated and prove it by saying all these people are all ignorant.
Yes.
They're all wrong.
We are ignorant.
Right.
We are dumb.
Isn't that interesting that there's that that there's
to prove.
Yeah.
What you call smart guys? Don't you have that?
No, you have that everywhere. It's just not. It's not very attractive, you know.
I said each time I'm sure the air went to be good, so.
Similar to the situation between Washington, D.C. and New York. That
Amsterdam. Look at the hippodrome or horse racing and the frescoes that were found and the stage. And you can imagine the governor, the Caesar coming here and Ben Hur movie. So let's go further on. We're going to the theater now. Remember the theater.
You guys need me? Okay, you guys want me to record this?
I do.
Everybody was so good, and the only thing that is left to do to put the name, but you don't have the name yet. Where the tabula table is empty, it's called tabula rasa. That's why when you start something fresh before you start it, you say tabula rasa. I'm just starting now. We say if somebody's empty headed, nothing inside tabula rasa. Breaks those minerals apart, wind blows, and get it different layers of different color, and then we have what is called Nubian sandstones, and we have a whole city, Petra, is carved into that sand that come from granite. Limestone is created in a deep ocean. This is what all of Israel is made of almost, definitely the Jerusalem stone. Then we have certain area that is a lake, and that's around the area of the Dead Sea. But in this area we have sandstone. What is that? All what you see Caesarea made of. Sandstone is sand with shells, with all kind of carbonate and so on, which make it a very, very soft stone. That's the sandstone. Most of Caesarea is built with this stone. What's so unique about the city of Caesarea, and we're talking engineering, this is the first time ever cement was used underwater. They made tubes and poured in cement to build a water break over 2,000 years ago. The best seaport were built by Herod the Great. In this case, he was definitely great. The limestone under pressure, many in Europe, many Italy, in a place called Carrara, makes this lines, the Carrara stone, which is kind of limestone. So if you take the limestone and you take the marble, it's the same chemicals, the same minerals. And that's why it's not so good for your kitchen. I advise you to use granite. You're expert of capital, your
to the left, plain square, Ionic and Corinthian, and certain of Corinthian, the very detailed one, is from the Byzantine period, and in that you can see some time crosses. Let's go further on. Oh, sorry. The leaders can hear the audience, and of course the best place to hear is right here. Look at the stage, the wall was as high. You remember when we mentioned that in Beit An, and I think when you see the same, them both in the same day, you can tell that the one in Beit An was a lot bigger than that. It had another rows of seats on top of it, three all together. But now I'm not. You can see how you can hear them.
Shalom! Shalom!
Shalom! He was here for difference with that. The only thing, what I want to point out to you and try to hear me now, because what I want to share with you is to do with the past, but also with what's happening now. In the year 68, right in front of the synagogue, the Greek tried to sacrifice pigeons, dove, on the Sabbath day. That was too much for the Jews, as it was too much to sacrifice swine during the Hasmonean period. The uprising started right here in Caesarea, from here to the Galilee, to Gamla, the triangle thing that I showed you, to Arbela, to Jerusalem. 70 AD, the Temple of Jerusalem is being destroyed, and the people flee away, run away to the wilderness, Judean wilderness. To where? To all these 22 fortresses that were built by Herod as a site of refuge for himself, but it was used by the common religious people who tried to find a shelter. 70 AD, the temple is destroyed. 73, the last place after Machaerus, Masada, fall, and we get there, we tell the story. Not long after that, I'm talking about 73, in the year 132, Hadrian come to this area, but in those days, there are strong spiritual leaders to the Jews. One of them is Rabbi Akiva during the time of Bar Kokhba, and they're putting together Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi that we mentioned. They were putting together the Oral Bible, and there's such a lift up here. We're getting closer. Adrian come, he built Jupiter Shrine over the temple, Aphrodite Shrine over Calvary. There's not much difference between Jews and Christians at that time, and that's it. You see, we cannot tolerate that. That is too much. And they fight against Rome. The leader is Bar Kokhba. This is the one coin I have. From 132 to 135, and at the beginning they're winning the war. And they say, hey, we're going to clear this country from the idols. We're going to be free again. It doesn't take long. Hadrian see how important this battle is. He sent his chief of staff and tens of thousands of soldiers here. 10 of the leaders are captured. Rabbi Akiva, Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba is set in a cave just like Daniel with a lion. And Rabbi Akiva and other 10 are brought to this very place, a place that can be heard well. And when they are here, they were accused of really revolting against Rome, not just something in the temple. That's very important to Hadrian. And they're accused, they are tried, and they're executed right here. They are stripped off the skin, and they die. Now, not only they die, but that battle was to the freedom to practice God and for the land of Israel. And they were willing to sacrifice the land and their own people. The one that were captured were sold a slave, and one slave value was a food for a host for 2 weeks. They say it was worse than the Holocaust itself. And they lost the land of Israel. And the year is 135, till when? 1948, till the Independence War, till the State of Israel was established. So this very place we're in, and that's why I said, you cannot pass it by. This very place goes back to the story of Herod, to building the seaport, to build a gateway to spread the word north, south, east, and west, to have the first uprising that led to the destruction of the temple, to the time of Bar Kokhba. And today, only the Navy, give an oath to the State of Israel in this very theater here, and we use it for festivals show. This is Caesarea. What I would like to do now is give you a few minutes, take pictures, use the restrooms, don't forget the best ways to go from here. I didn't bring you from up above, I've seen too many accidents here, because people don't take the steps and they jump from one line to another, row to another. So don't take too long, take pictures, and then from here,
We're going to go back to the bus. We drive by the Crusader City, and we'll go to see the aqueduct.
Okay, so bathrooms this way.
Same way we came in.
And
the bus to the right.
What time is the bus?
Restrooms, bus, as fast as we can.
Scipio, do you believe Paul also was probably tried here?
I believe he was tried here. That's a place of trial, not the other one, I think.
A place, you said, well-heard?
Well-heard.
Well-heard.
You can hear it well both ways.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I really think, because it says so.
Was it Agrippa that died here?
Herod Agrippa died here from worms, yes.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes, and because they tried to worship him, and he accepted it.
It's in Acts, of course, why not?
Yeah, it's in Acts.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks.
Right.
You're right.
This is awesome, eh?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Paul. You know, and what's been, when we went to Greece, when we did the Greek Isles, I got to go to the Mars Hill.
Oh, that's right.
Where
you
defended
did.
The faith. Yeah. So this is
Yeah.
And the thing, Paul was here. He looked up at probably standing right over here where he could be sure he would be heard. Gave that beautiful articulation of faith.
I'll take a picture of you at this spot. Was that right?
Sure. I'll. Passage that was that in Acts, I suppose, where he defended the faith here?
Thank you.
open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and the Gentiles.